I was attacked about 14 years ago whilst working as a senior doctor and a cardiologist. I was attacked as a result of which had body burns, chemical burns, and lost both my eyes. Just one day I'm at work, 10 minutes later I'm severely injured and haven't recovered any eyesight since.
And clearly the shock of that, Christian, when you're waking up in the mornings and you can't see.
Well, I call it day and night are the same. It's very difficult to get used to. You're sort of just looking through fog. It's fog permanently. Losing eyesight is a big problem, but you lose a lot more than that. Of course, the obvious things are you lose your independence, you lose your profession. I was a doctor working 90, 100 hours as a junior doctor, then a middle grade doctor, then as a senior one. I don't know how many resuscitations and hospital emergencies I must have dealt with in thousands. Must have treated hundreds, tens of thousands of patients. It was wonderful life. It was giving back to society, doing what I was very good at and ably trained for. And suddenly you don't have anything to do. Suddenly all your professional bodies don't want to know you. The British Medical Association doesn't want to know you. The Medical Council doesn't want to know you. The Royal College of Physicians don't want to know you. No one has in their abilities or their capacities. None of the major hospitals I worked for in London, whether it be Guy's or the Brompton Hospital or the Royal Free, none of them have it in their capacity to create a job where a blind member of the College of Physicians with training can actually give back to society what he was trained for. So you lose that. You lose your friends, you lose your families, you lose dignity, you lose everything. People think when you sit in company, when you sit in or stand in a social gathering, they will come and talk to you for a customary 1 minute out of 3 hours. And it's as if they've done the duty by saying hello and they go away. And they think that you've lost your eyesight, but they think you've lost your brains. They think you've lost your ability to be rational. You've lost your ability to think. You've lost your ability to contribute to discussion. You've lost your thoughts. You've lost your capacity to generate ideas. They think you've lost everything. They think you've lost your IQ. It's gone. Everyone just runs away.
You're making my heart beat faster, Krishnan, because you are amazingly powerful in your contribution this evening.
The toughest day of my life, well, I've had bad days, and you can imagine over 14 years I've had a lot of bad days. But the day I phoned the medical council, the general medical council, and said to them that I didn't think I could afford to pay the £185 or whatever it was then, as my registration fees as a doctor was worth it. I phoned to cancel my registration voluntarily with the General Medical Council, and they asked the reason, and I couldn't bring myself up to say that it's because it's of no use to me. Now, although without my eyes, I can listen to a heart, I can listen to all the murmurs, to all the lungs, and diagnose all the lungs and heart conditions for which I was trained. And I actually went through with my knowledge to see what I couldn't do with eyes shut. And the only thing I couldn't tell in a patient was if they were jaundiced or anemic. Yet I was considered unfit to practice medicine with any assistance.
So I'm really fascinated, Krishnan, in this. So tell me, although you have lost your sight, you believe that you could still be playing a role as a cardiologist?
Yes, if not as a cardiologist, as a physician. Of course, as a cardiologist, I was doing angiograms, putting stents, dilating heart arteries, putting pacemakers, looking at scans, looking at all sorts of ECGs, reporting on them. I understand I can't do any of that. I'm the first one to raise my hand and say, that's fine, I can't do it. But I'm also not prepared to believe that I can't do anything in my profession.
Tell me what you can do with your ears, listening to those murmurs.
Yes, I can listen to murmurs as well as I did before. Perhaps better, because I presume my hearing's got acuter.
How old are you?
54.
So you're determined. You really, I can hear it in you. You really want to give back. You really want to use your years of training. And because you've lost your sight, they're saying no. They're stopping you in your tracks.
That society for whom I trained is not benefiting from me. I feel sorry for myself, but looking at a wider picture, I actually feel sorry for thousands of patients who would have benefited from my knowledge and experience and training.
And you said earlier on that people come up and they spend a minute with you in a token gesture way. Do you really believe that?
Well,
have your friends not stuck by you?
They don't. No, friends have not stuck by. Professional colleagues are not stuck by. It's I suppose it's a fast world and everyone's moving on. And when your mobility is limited, your access to other places is limited. The minute you talk to someone or you almost get the feeling they think you're going to ask them for some help. You're going to ask them to do something for you.
Do you mind me asking, Krishnan, I know you touched on it at the beginning, but how did this happen to you?
I was working overseas as a doctor, and I was attacked. I think we leave it at that because it conjures up very, very difficult memories.
But you were attacked by a stranger.
Yes.
They must have thrown something at you which took your sight away.
Yeah.
And were you instantly blinded?
Yeah, instantly.
Obviously, the reason we're talking about this, Krishnan, is because of what happened to PC Rathband.
And, yes.
He took his own life.
Well, you know, these thoughts inevitably will cross anyone's mind who's lost a major faculty such as eyesight.
Did it cross yours?
If I said no, I'd be lying. But, you know, very early on in my life, when this happened, I started saying to myself, yes, you've lost your sight, but not your vision. And when people ask me, oh, how's your eyesight? And I repeat the same phrase, yes, I've lost my sight, but I've not lost my vision.
Do you still have dreams, aspirations, goals that you think you'll conquer?
Well, the dreams, the actual dreams I have are actually fantastic because that's the only sight that's remaining. So the night that I have dreams, I actually wake up very happy because I've actually seen people. I've seen color and I've seen beautiful sort of sceneries and pictures. And that's wonderful. Dreams are absolutely wonderful for somebody who has actually seen in the past and lost the eyesight in prime.
I'm intrigued, Krishnan, as to the ability for the human spirit to conquer adversity. I'm intrigued as to where it comes from, as to whether it is within us all or whether it is in just some people. That strength that you need to draw on when you have a crisis in your life.
Yeah.
I'm just intrigued as to whether, you know, we all feel it's in every one of us or just some of us just cannot ever cope. And you clearly have needed to be, you've had to draw on that strength. Is it hard to find it? So does it just come from your core?
I think it's like if you have to survive and you have to aim and you have to achieve and you set out some goals and you think that you have certain duties and obligations, that's what gives the strength. If you feel you have obligation towards, you know, children, that in my case I had two young children who were 8 and 10 at that time, I couldn't leave them, I couldn't abandon them. I could not, and I kept saying to myself in my hospital bed, the first 3 months I spent in my burns unit, in and out of consciousness, in and out of theaters, and every time I could think it, I said, how can I make sure that they don't suffer? So the suffering and the effects of a criminal act sort of stop with me. They don't go beyond me. And I just kept saying that to myself. They must go to school. They must do their schooling. They must achieve. And what's happened to me, if my career has been cut short in prime, it should stop there. It shouldn't go to the next generation or it shouldn't go to someone else.
How long have you been blind, Krishnan?
It'll be 14. Well, it's going to be 14 years next week.
What do you miss seeing the most?
I actually miss seeing the beautiful world, the greenery, the beauty of the sky, the beauty of the rain.
And when you're blind, does your brain design those images in your mind so that you see them inside your head?
Do you know, it's crazy, but it designs people you have never seen in your life. I almost have an image of people I've never seen in my life who've come into sort of acquainted with me in the recent years. And one always wonders if one gets sight back, will they actually look like my imagination? But you do have an image when you don't see.
And the most beautiful image that you have actually seen in the world, now that it's been taken away from you, is what?
Professionally, I'd love to read an ECG again. Simple as that, you know. Look at a strip of ECG and see the waves and the squiggles on it and make a diagnosis on that.
Krishnan, maybe about once a year, maybe about once every 2 years. I've been hosting programs like this now for, I don't know, 17, 18 years. And just once in a while, there's someone picks up the phone and that story stays in your head as a presenter and the listeners. It'll stay in their head for months and months and months. And you are this year's caller because it is incredible. It is incredible, the story and the testimony that you have brought to this station, sir. And
all I can say to people who've lost their eyesight is stay with it. Stay with it. If you lost your sight, do not lose your vision.
I just want to say to you, thank you so much for picking up the phone.
And I repeat the same phrase. Yes, I've lost my sight, but I've not lost my vision.